Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back, Comic-Con podcast, season 4 still? Episode 12. We're back as always. I was gone last week. I know Paperweight Comics or Paperweight Collects stood in for me, which was awesome. It was a great episode. But back to the OGs, the original Deuce, Justin, and the Manimal. What's up, dude?
I'm not a Deuce, but I'll take the duo.
The original Deuce, dude.
The original Deuce. Yes, the OG Deuce. I got to tell you, the having Paperweight on last week, you know, he's probably one of our newer, you know, again, he's our newer guest. He's only been on this show twice already this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really feeling him as a Canadian, man. I think he's really, you know, he could be added as like a third person, you know. Because as we all know, we've been just really grooming all the Canadians to jump on this show on a weekly, on a bi-weekly or tri-weekly basis every time. But I just feel like it's so great to have Greg on here because he's so new to the community and he is not jaded. And, you know, the conversations that we were having about exactly like he said, he brought up the, you know, not liking everything and, you know, if something's trash, it's trash. If something's good, you talk about it. But he's just such a genuine person to have on. And I like that about having someone who's, and again, not an influencer, realistically, not a YouTuber. Like he just.
Right. Cool. No, I enjoyed it as well because, and like, look, I mean, you and I have been in the community and in the game for a while now. And I mean, being honest, you know, we can get a little jaded, right? And so we have our own predispositions on things we like or dislike and the stances we take. And I, for the most part, I think most of our listeners could probably, you know, if you gave them a topic, they would probably be able to guess which way we're going to fall on it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like the fact that he was like agreeing with us. Cause sometimes I do wonder, I'm like, oh man, am I upset about this because I'm a little jaded because of things that have happened in the community and like the way I feel like it's going. And it was nice to hear him kind of reiterate some of the topics we talked about past week about people, you know, just being yes men or like super positive just to grow their brand or whatever. So it's nice to see, like you said, like a newer person in the community kind of see through that. It gives me hope that maybe not everyone out there are lemmings that just like follow garbage. Right. So, So thanks a lot for stepping in and taking over and helping out, which hopefully I should be able to, there should be no change. I should be able to record next week as well, but I'm currently in the middle of moving from Texas to Virginia. There's no furniture in my house. That's why I might be a little echoey. If you see any clips, that's why my audio and video are not awesome. It's because I just straight up laptop right here. So, hitting the road on Thursday next week. Yeah, hit the road Thursday next week for
around the corner, man. It's a
cross-country journey. Yeah, dude.
That's awesome, man. I'm excited for you to get here on the East Coast. You know, we've been talking.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of positives, obviously, you know, not only just comic book related, but again, like, you know, we could hang out and go to like a show, like, a, you know, right. music show, or, you know, we could just meet up in between, whether it's Baltimore or DC. It's a lot really of fun things to do.
Exploring. So,
yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Let's start off with some articles. Let's do some articles today. Let's reverse the orders that we usually go in here, mm-hmm. and kind of keep the listeners guessing. So I'll start off with one I got. This comes over from Bleeding Cool. And this kind of talks about some things that we've talked about in the past. Mark Miller stories, The Big Game, and stuff like that. So this article starts, Nemesis Rogue Gallery, sequel to Big Game, comes out in July. So As we know, Mark Miller's brand has kind of jumped around. They go on to say, this is kind of funny, Nemesis has had almost as many publishers as Britain has had prime ministers of late. So Marvel Image and now Dark Horse. So we know that Miller World has left Image Comics for Dark Horse Comics, and they've lined up the first of five new books with Nemesis Rogue Gallery. So this is supposed to kind of be a sequel to what happened, the events from Big Game. And they go on to describe it as Nemesis claws himself back from the brink. So if you guys aren't familiar with who Nemesis is in the Miller World, he's basically like the most awesome assassin, bad guy. Like, he's unbeatable. He's just like really badass and cool. But he does get beat in Big Game, spoiler alert. But some stuff coming with this should be pretty cool. So the franchise, co-created with artist Steve McNiven, and both he and Jorge Jimenez set a pretty damn high bar, but Valerio clears it with a double flip. The art on this book is insane. He goes on to say he thinks the superstar is born. I can't wait for you all to see it and look forward to a long, fruitful relationship with the company. Check our socials for lots of little previews in the weeks ahead. Yeah, dude, Miller has been very vocal of late, and I think we talked about it. I don't know if this was last season, last year. His comments about, you know, Marvel and DC needing to up their prices, right, or their payment to get writers and everything, and that's the problem. And honestly, kind of, you know, neither one of us really like goes far to say that we are in the know of how the industry works in that aspect, right? Like, we have some knowledge, but I think also you can read between the lines, right, with like all these branching offs, like the Onion, or not the Onion, Tinian's,
Tiny Onion.
Yeah. And then the, gosh, I'm having a mind blank, the distillery, all these different, like, and then now you have the Rook Exodus stuff with Image, like that whole world. Like, I think you're seeing these big time writers kind of jump ship from Marvel and DC, right? Like, they're not really wanting to go back, and I'm sure pay has something to do with it. Of course it does. Right. I mean, it's
job. Pay is one thing. I think another thing is the whole owning your character, right?
Right.
You know, and Nemesis is a great character. He's someone who has been asked for a lot, right? And we don't really get to, you know, Kick-Ass has had multiple series. You have, you know, anything, the Hit Girl stuff, Kick-Ass, and you have, you know, Jupiter's Legacy. They've had sequels, but Nemesis has only really ever had that first run. I think it was like five or six issues. And then, yes, we saw him in Big Game. And now, like, yeah, now we're actually going to get a sequel to that. It's cool that it's spanning out of the whole, you know, Big Game stuff that we saw last year, which was awesome if anybody got a chance to read it. And I think that's going to be a good positive for any of these characters that he did create to see, you know, what's the future of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that comes out July 24th, 2024. I'm actually kind of surprised because it did kind of seem like Big Game was sort of like kind of wrapping up the Millerverse, if you will, Miller World. And I actually kind of thought now that he's in Dark Horse, he was going to be like, okay, clean slate, let's start some new stuff and go again. But maybe we'll see some returning characters from like other Miller World properties, which should, you know, they're great characters. Like, I'm a massive Magic Order fan. I've read all the Magic Order stuff, so I'd love some more of that as well. But anyway, let's move on to another article, Mr. Prime.
Well, here we go again with some symbiote stuff. You know, it's a weekly thing and it's a weekly occurrence here. But you know what? Marvel just likes to bleed it out and bleed your money dry. So over at bleedingcool.com, Venomverse Reborn from Marvel in July. Venomverse was a big hit for Marvel, courtesy of Kid Venom in June, which I don't really think it was. But
yeah, right? I saw that too and I was like, what do you mean courtesy of Kid Venom? No, it wasn't, dude.
It's, you know, but whatever. We'll get into it. In June, Marvel will be publishing a return with the Venomverse Reborn. Marvel announces the new stories being written by Al Ewing and others in June. So this series will have a span of Venoms, including ones from Marvel's Spider-Man 2 video game. You can expect a mix of cosmic and terrestrial tales with first appearances and epic storylines. So they say, you know, courtesy of Kid Venom. You know what, Marvel, and I think someone posted this on or commented on one of my posts that they said this, that Marvel's very quick to introduce new characters and just completely just throw them away and you'll never see them again. Yeah. And obviously the big characters are always ending up being symbiote or spider related. So in the article, it goes into something for every fan for each jam-packed issue will be framed a pivotal new Venom story by current writer Al Ewing. doesn't miss a beat by a current Venom mastermind architect team up with many artists to lay out the groundwork for the next symbiote epic. The first two issues will be oozing with first appearances, including Venom, like I said, from the Insomniac's video game, Spider-Man 2, a Viking Venom, and more. But it does look like Benjamin Percy's jumping on here as well in the Venomverse Reborn, which is pretty awesome because he actually just got announced that he will be at Terrificon.
Yeah, so, and like, you know, we've talked about Benjamin Percy a lot, and even Al Ewing. Like, these are all great writers. But so I look at something like this, and all, like, symbiote bullshit aside, and obviously my disdain for all of that nonsense, but I look at this and it's such BS to me when they're like, oh, these are pivotal issues, right? But each issue is written by three different writers. So it's either going to be like stories, small stories within. So almost like an anthology type series. It's a 1-4. It's a 4-issue series with random Venoms pulled in from the multiverse. Like, what could be pivotal about this? Like, this seems like a cash grab to me. And I'm sure, like you said, like Ben Percy, Al Ewing, all being pulled in, they're going to write like 4 pages each and that's it. It's going to be like almost nothing. So,
yeah. The first one kind of goes into it. They talk about it, obviously dragging in Insomniac's Venom from Spider-Man 2 across the Venomverse to take on Null. So is the final story going to be about Null, or is it just like they've done? What is it like? Venomverse, Venomverse Returns, Edge of the Venomverse, just like they do all the spider stuff. And yeah, it's pretty much a cash grab, I think, just to, you know, who they can create, what retailers will do first exclusive variants for this. That's all it really ever is, right?
Yes.
I feel like that's their end game, is they just want to get more money out of retailers so they can do exclusive variants for books that are going to be worthless in 6 months that you'll see on Whatnot selling for $5 instead of what they originally came out for, like 25 or 30.
You'll see them in the dollar bin next to all the Ninja Funk.
Yeah.
Eventually one day. So anyway, well, those are a couple articles we have over there from Bleeding Cool. Some good stuff there. But moving on, we have a couple community questions, right?
Yeah, we do. So speaking of, again, we spoke about Paperweight earlier in the show. Let's kind of get into it. He actually sent us questions. He's like, how do you guys read comics? Do you look at the photos within the panels and then read? Or do you read and then go back over each panel? Maybe a dumb question, but always been curious.
Huh. You know, I find myself oftentimes. Okay. So I guess I'll go first. I don't look at the art that much. And I do find myself having to like kind of concentrate to focus on the art, which, because I'm like we said before, like the writing is what's important to me. So I will like read the words. And then I subconsciously kind of, you know, visualize or see the picture, but then I move on really quickly. Sometimes I'll go back and like, you know what? It'll register like, dude, I barely even looked at that picture. I barely even looked at that panel. I just read the words and moved on. So I do have that problem. I need to sometimes be a little bit more intent about, like actually looking at the art. So to answer the question, I think honestly, I just kind of read and then move on and I register the picture. So you?
I think I do both. I think I read and kind of just move past it, especially depending on like the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you feel like the, you know, the interaction between the characters is not pivotal to the art, so you're just like, oh, whatever. But then there's times where I'm just going through the panels and missing the story, you know, on like a page, just because, you know, you're trying to watch it almost like a movie, like an action sequence. Mm-hmm. And especially like something that's realistically going on, like if they're jumping from panel to panel, or you know, on like a quarter page there's like three small panels, you're trying to like look at that like, all right, action, and into the next, and then maybe, you know, you'll find out what's kind of going on later. I kind of do both. I think both of them are like the way to go, but good question, because you know, everyone's a little different how they read it,
right? It's always everyone's different on how their brain registers things, right? So I definitely sometimes I have to go back. I'm like, I didn't look at any of that art, and I'll go back and like look at the pictures. And yeah, so
especially if you don't know who the character was, right? If you're right. Like, who are they talking to, or who were they talking to? And you're going back and forth. So yeah, I get it. And then we got a second question, and this is actually going to definitely work right into our first topic for the evening, regarding into the comics, the cartoon stuff. So Mike the Beast Benson, if X-Men 87 turns out being an overall success, do you think there's a good chance we get a continuation of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon? It ended on such a huge cliffhanger. Honestly, would rather see that than Spider-Man freshman year.
You know, I saw that. I actually saw that as well prior to, it was like maybe a month ago now, because there's been a lot of hype for X-Men 97, right? And I saw something else. Someone posted that as well. Like, oh man, maybe if this does well, we'll get, you know, a Spider-Man 97 or whatever it is, you know, which would be cool. I mean, it really would be cool. Like the Spider-Man animated is, I mean, my favorite Spider-Man stuff, and I'm not a big Spidey guy. But yeah, I think it's, there is, we talk about it all the time, especially with comics. There is definitely a need for these animated shows, and especially for like the big two. I mean, Marvel, right? So Marvel and DC, you have to bring new people into comics. We need a younger generation. And us growing up, we grew up on Spider-Man, Batman the Animated, X-Men. You know, these were the shows, the cartoons that kind of pretty much got us into comics for the most part. I mean, some of us were probably reading and collecting, but the interest were coming from the cartoons for the most part, I think. I think that's probably a strong statement to make on the majority of collectors, very much influenced by those cartoons. And that could be the source for the next generation. I don't think things like What If are going to be what brings new readers into comics, you know?
No. The storylines were just so great. You know, I obviously we're going to get into X-Men 97, but literally, so X-Men 97 came out on Wednesday, and I binge watched season one of the original X-Men series. You know, I was kind of skimming the episodes. Yeah. You know, for the most part, I wasn't watching every little bit. And then I got into season two and the same thing. And you're just like, this is so pivotal that like at the time, it's just like, this was such a great series. They were doing it directly from the comic books. And I said this about the Batman animated series, that you were literally taking the storyline straight out of what, you know, Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams were doing, you know, the first appearance of all these characters, how these were written into the, you know, comics, and just taking it and putting it into an art form. And the same thing with like Spider-Man animated. They did so many storylines, you know, obviously Return of Sinister Six, you have the Carnage stuff, the Venom stuff. They brought in the Secret Wars thing. Mm-hmm. And then the way it ended was they did like that Spider Carnage. And you're like, this is the last two episodes of like how they're ending it was, you know, with like the clone, with like Spider-Man, like Ben Reilly, and then him meeting like Stan Lee. Like, that's really how we're ending this series. Was just very odd. So there is a way to continue that storyline, because there's so much that happened, you know, post those storylines, that you're like, you can definitely get them in and get people to watch them again, still considering, and you don't need to go into the whole Spider-Verse. You could just take characters that were just never introduced.
Yeah, man. I remember season two of X-Men, like when Morph comes back, right, as like a bad guy, that was, I was like floored. I remember as a kid being like, what? He's back. Oh, he's evil now. He works for Sinister. And then the whole like struggle to get him back, and Wolverine trying to get him back. And like, it was a big deal for me, because I also didn't like, I was reading the X-Men, and Morph was never a character in the books, like of any substance. I know people like, yeah, he was Changeling back in like the, yeah, I get it. I know about Changeling and that, but like as a mainstay character, he wasn't, he was just a throwaway character in the animated series that they brought back. And so it was cool to see Wolverine kind of interacting with, like, that was like his best buddy. 'Cause you didn't have Colossus and you didn't have Nightcrawler, who are his comic book best buddies. So, I loved the X-Men animated, and I guess if we're just moving on into kind of on a review of X-Men 97, like, man, I was excited. I don't think I've been like other people, and even being an X-Men person, I know a lot of people were super, super excited for this cartoon to come out. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, I guess I'm a little tempered on expectations with Marvel lately, right? And so I was a little nervous about how it was going to come down, but man, it flowed seamlessly. And there were things about it that I just loved. Like, I loved Cyclops's depiction. I'm a big Cyclops fan. We had in our group chat, I kind of went off on the Canadians today because they were talking some shit on Cyclops. But this is one of the biggest problems I feel like with X-Men depictions is heavy Wolverine, low Cyclops. And I don't feel like that's a good, like a good thing at all. And it was low Wolverine in these first two episodes, which I thought was extremely important. Cyclops was awesome. He was a leader. That scene where he falls out of the sky and like his blast like keeps him from, you know, falling to his death was amazing. Yeah. Everything was great about it. I love the addition of Bishop. So good. And I'm so excited. I want way more Bishop. We didn't get a lot in the first two episodes. They toned down the annoying aspect of Jubilee. Like she was actually like enjoyable. I was like, okay, cool. Like I can actually like this Jubilee. I hated Jubilee.
Yeah.
Because of the original comic. And then obviously Magneto kind of stole the show and Storm. But like, anyway, your thoughts, because I could probably just keep going, but what were your thoughts on
it? Yeah. All right. So like I said, I watched the first two episodes and then I watched like season one of, you know, the original animated series. Uh-huh. And I got to say, and people are going to hate me on this, but I felt like the first episode was literally just a rehash of the original, like Night of the Sentinels. But the flip side is instead of Jubilee, they're trying to get Sunspot, right?
Right.
That's who it is. Oh, and instead of the Sentinels, it's the Friends of Humanity. So it was almost like they tried to play it safe, right? If you kind of look at it that way, they kind of just tried to play this first two episodes very safe. Well, I would say the first episode, because it's realistically, it's the same thing. You know, the X-Men are trying to save some kid who doesn't want to be a mutant, doesn't understand being a mutant. And then like you get Jubilee, like at the end, she says to him like, oh yeah, I was like that at one point. I didn't want to be here, you know, but I learned to be here basically. And that's kind of like the same thing that happened in the original series. But, you know, other than that, I think the animation's great. The voice acting, again, keeping the majority of the actors and actresses who voiced these characters was great to hear again. The trial of Magneto was cool. And yeah, Magneto definitely steals the show. Like he's like such a bad guy in the original series, reading him in comic books and what we know about Magneto. And then for him to come and just, he gets to that point where he takes the judges and the one guy, that executioner guy, up into space basically, and like he could just kill them, but he's just like he has that tear and he's just like doing this for Charles. It really hits you. It really hits you in the feels.
So I'll rebuttal. I totally understand what you're saying about your point about that being similar, and I'll rebuttal. Here's my thought process on that, because it very much is like kind of what we talked about, right? We need to get new viewers in. But at the same time, we all know how volatile us old fans can be, right? So they also have to like cater to us, which is, it's a very thin line, let's be honest, let's be fair. So it's a continuation, right? And so I thought they did a really good job of like, okay, it's a continuation, but you don't need to know the whole past, because you're kind of a big deal. Also, you're starting the X-Men and Xavier's dead, he's gone. So I thought they did a really good job of like, okay.
But is he dead? Like, why put him in the freaking opening theme song? Like, that was a little.
I thought so.
I didn't like that because, again, I actually watched, I watched the final episode of the series, the original series, before I watched this. Just because I actually need to go back. There was, as I was looking through the episode guide, I was like, I don't remember this episode. I don't remember this. I can see where I probably either stopped watching it or who knows what happened. But like the Shi'ar take him. Mm-hmm. So he's technically still alive, maybe not in body, but in mind. So,
yeah, I mean, he's probably gonna be back. It's the X-Men, right?
Yeah, it's like,
but I liked how I thought they threaded the needle really well with like, there was a lot of like expository, like information where they kind of like, hey, like for you people who may not know the X-Men so well, like Bishop's powers, right? So like initially he shows up in that first scene with him and Storm, they go at it and he's getting shot with like blasts and he's not one of the most well-known X-Men, okay, for like non, you know, X-Men fans. And then they don't really talk about it, but it looks cool. And then later they kind of explain it like, oh, you know, you can channel powers or whatever. So I thought they did a really good job of threading the needle of like new content, similar to old content, and also palatable for new viewers who might not be with it. I saw my cousin like last week back in Kansas City. And he was telling me one of his sons is like, hey, he like really is into comics. He really wants more comics. And I was like, yo, perfect. I'm moving. I need to get rid of shit. I will send you a box of comics. And so I packaged all these comics up. And then I told him, I was like, hey, have him watch. This is a perfect time. Cause he's into Batman and Spider-Man, right? I mean, that's what everyone's kind of into. Mm-hmm. And I go, have him watch X-Men. It's coming out. This is a good start. And I'll ship him a bunch of X-Men comics as well. So I'm excited to hear what the result is on that. And I thought, like I said, I thought they did a great job of threading the needle of keeping us older fans happy and leaving it a springboard for new fans to come. Yeah, I enjoyed it, man. I'm excited to see where it goes. No complaints.
Yeah, definitely not really complaints. I just feel like that was the one thing that people may not talk about, is that it was a little bit too safe. They played it too safe on that first
episode. I get you.
But a lot of action, you know, I get it. Like, that's what you wanted to, that's what you want to see. And every character got their own screen time for, or enough screen time for a 25, 30 minute episode, which is great.
Except Beast, maybe.
Yeah.
Could have got some more, but oh, and you know what was really cool? One of the really cool things too about like the addition. I know there was all this drama about Morph, right? Being, oh, he's a they, them, whatever. He's non-binary, like, don't care, whatever. But a Morph, having Morph as like an addition in the cast is so great because you get to see other characters without actually having to have the other characters, right? So like you saw Colossus, Psylocke, Archangel, Blob. Who else did he turn into?
Lady Death. Oh no,
you strike. Yeah. That was really cool. It's cool having him there. It's like, hey, here's a character. You're not gonna get that character, but here he is. So
like us old people, or you know, us old readers or whatever, we know who they were, but like for a new person, they're just like, he's changing into all these characters. Like, who are these characters? Right, you really don't know. They don't ever say the names. It's just,
but that's fun too, man.
Oh, maybe, no, it's the best. Yeah.
Maybe a new viewer is like, hey, that character looked really cool. Who is that? And then they fall down the rabbit hole, man. That's cool. So yeah, dude, I loved it. I'm excited to keep watching. When did that come out? Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah,
that. So came every out. Wednesday, new episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So, well, cool. Let's keep plugging along. Let's stay in the Disney Plus theme. We had another trailer drop kind of this week, which is a surprise to me. I didn't know it was coming out. Justin, walk us through it.
Well, we have The Acolyte from, you know, the High Republic. So we got our next live action TV series for Star Wars, going to be in set about 100 years prior to The Phantom Menace, kind of the tail end of the High Republic stuff. So we're going to see some. So far, there's only one confirmed character that we know about if you've been reading the High Republic stuff, which is Vernestra Rowe. We get to see her as a Jedi Master in the current series. She's kind of a Padawan, if not Jedi Knight. So, you know, thoughts on the trailer? Did you see that fan-made trailer that we just watched this week? Because that's what it looked like.
No.
It was terrible, bro. I'm sorry.
You didn't like the trailer for this?
I didn't like it, man. It literally looked like a fan-made Star Wars movie. Man. It really looked bad. People are like, wow, really? Yeah, I think it looked terrible. You know, I went back and I watched every teaser trailer for all these live action movie, all the live action Star Wars, and this was the worst one. Like, you could tell, or you could see that it's very, like, very basic, like super basic for a teaser trailer. And that's fine for, you know, not showing you stuff, but I just felt like it was done by, I've seen TikTok and Instagrammers and YouTubers do better movies than this trailer, you know? You know, get the parallels of the opening scene with the Jedi Master, who's talking about, you know, don't use your eyes. And that's something that Obi-Wan tells Luke, you know, when he's training him. Again, a very diverse cast of characters, because that's what the creator wanted. Of course, female led, what's her name? Leslie Headland is going to be the, you know, creator of this. And, you know, this is the first Star Wars that doesn't have a white male led character. I think that was what was going around,
which is fine, but it's so annoying that they have to, like, hey, we need to not have a white male led character. Like, the fact that you single out that as something you can't have, that's racist. Not just wild, but okay, dude.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see it, because again, I want to see Jedi. I want to see a Sith, but I don't know. I'm telling you, it was just really tough to watch. Like, it was almost like,
I really enjoyed it. And I get what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe I also appreciated it because it didn't show anything. Like, little less is more these days with these trailers. So I kind of like the ambiguity of the trailer, in terms of, like, it didn't give away a lot of things. I really love the opening scene of, man, I'm going to totally butcher his name, Lee Young High, the guy from Squid Game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's awesome. I love Squid Game. So seeing him in there as the Jedi, I thought that was really cool. I like to tie in with Vernestra Rowe, obviously, from, you know, both of us reading High Republic. Carrie Ann Moss is awesome. I don't know, man. I'm pretty excited for it. I like that we didn't see much. I get what you mean, though. It was kind of a generic type trailer. But I don't want to see more. I want to be surprised.
You want to see a trailer and you want to be excited for it.
I was pretty excited.
I know, but it's just, you know, for especially me, like, yeah. I don't know. I went back and I'm telling you, I watched, and you know what it is? And I don't want it to be that, because these other trailers and these other shows that have come out have been established characters. But I'm telling you, if you go back and you watch Andor, even Book of Boba Fett, you know, Ahsoka and Obi-Wan, if you just watch the teaser trailer, there's not a lot that's shown, but you're just like, wow, this universe is amazing. And if you watch this trailer, you're like, I don't know, man. It's kind of boring. It was kind of boring. Like,
okay. Well, hopefully it'll turn out better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want it to turn out amazing. Yeah. You know, it's, again, it's the current era that they're in for the comics. They're really high on this High Republic stuff. And it's not in the whole Luke Skywalker era, right? It's not the whole Skywalker saga. So they can kind of do what they want, because they're past, they're at least, you know, a good 100 years past the what's going on in Marvel. And they're 100 years prior to what happened in Phantom Menace. So it's a good in between. They can create characters, and then eventually you could see them in the comic books.
You think we'll see Yoda?
Of course. Yeah. Cause he's alive. He's 100% right. Alive. I think and that was another thing, you know, it's like, oh, who's going to cameo? Well, 100% you're going to get
Yoda.
You have to get Yoda. The Acolyte could be anybody. Most people are kind of hoping that it's Darth Plagueis, because that would be the best way to introduce the Sith. Some people are thinking it's Darth Bane. I would love it to be Darth Bane, but I don't think, you know, that's changing his canon, the way, it, you know, where he kind of created the rule of two. So,
yeah. But, you know, it's funny, like, Star Wars always has, like, this, like, script in terms of, like, right, you got a Jedi, you always got some kind of, like, a smuggler, like, they got a new guy, Khmer, in this, who's, like, a former smuggler and trader. It's, like, there's always the same kind of characters, and, like, it's almost like any kind of RPG game you play, right? You know, you got your thief, you got your wizard, you got your warrior, and it's always the same, like, archetypes for these things. But I mean, it works. So, and then, you know, there's like some kind of like a witch's coven, you know, very reminiscent to the the Dathomir chicks. So I don't know, man, I thought it looked pretty cool. I'm excited. What is it, June, is that when it comes out?
June. I'm excited to see who Daphne Keene plays.
She said, okay, so actually I see that right here. She is an acolyte. She's a Padawan character. She's playing a character named Jeki Lawn. Okay. So she is a Padawan to Master Soul, played by the guy from Squid Game.
I'm wondering if it's the girl that was kind of like the alien race that you see. She's kind of at the end, like right before all the Jedi kind of pull out their lightsaber. Like, I think she's the one who, let's just say, the way the trailer plays out is like she's the one who actually sees the Sith or Acolyte with the red lightsaber.
Yeah, there's a picture of her right here in this. You want me to send it to you?
I think I found it. I found it. She's got the orange on her face. Is that the one?
Yeah, she's got like horns.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's I guess that's her basic. I just want to see, I want to see main characters. I want to see strong characters. I don't want to just see just generic. Because no joke, like watching it, the trailer, all the way, the way I looked at a lot of these characters, like the, I guess you would call them like the non-white male. He looks like Bell Zedafar, right? You got that deal, the guy with like the dreads. Like he looked like exactly like a, you know, like a mature Bell Zedafar, but it's not Bell from.
I know. I was kind of hoping too. He's the actor. He was in the Chicago Fire.
Okay.
That actor was in that show. I remember I recognized him. I was like, where's this guy from? And I used to watch that garbage. But
Okay. You were such a what? Chicago Fire.
I know, dude. I don't know. I don't know why I was watching it, but I don't know. Like I also, of course, it'd be cool to see Yoda, and it would make sense to see Yoda. But I'm also, once again, at this point, a less is more kind of person, because so much of Marvel, so much of Star Wars, so much of everything, I feel like, is being like ruined by these. We got to have cameos. We got to have these big characters show up. And I think it does a disservice. I've said it a million times before. I think it does a disservice to the storyline, because it overshadows it. Like, hey, we're waiting for Luke to show up, or we're waiting for Thanos to show up in an end credit scene. And it steals away from the show. And I like this period of time because, well, I mean, I would be happy with any. This is an interesting period of time, right? Because we've had the High Republic in the comics, and we know a lot of those characters, like the Bell, the Vern, the Skeer, all the Avar Chris, all those characters. We know them. Like, we have a feeling about them. This is past that, right? Like, we're getting Vern a little bit as older, and we're probably going to have Yoda. But other than that, there's no characters. And it's so much earlier that we don't have any of our legacy characters as well. So I like that it's a screenshot of, like, boom, all new characters. Like, that was kind of what's cool about Andor. Of course, we had a little characters that were, you know, Andor and Mon Mothma, but I don't know. I think Star Wars really needs to branch out and embrace the size of their universe and their ability to be like, hey, here's new characters. You will love these too. You don't need this crutch of an old character, a cameo, and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, man. I'm hoping for the same shit though, like with the Sith, right? Let's get into the Sith here.
Yeah. So. We want to get back to that era because we really didn't have that in the sequel movies and realistically, yeah. Like what's going on in the current series. You know, you had a great character with Baylan Skull, right? But that's not what we want. You know, we want a real Sith user. We don't want a Jedi who is a fallen Jedi. You know, I want to see a straight up Sith Lord.
I know. I mean, and honestly, the most we've ever had that was the prequel trilogy. The sequel trilogy, no, you got none. Return of Palpatine, you know, but yeah. I don't know. Anyway, well, cool. Something to look forward to in the summertime. But anyway, well, let's round it out here with what we're reading these days. What do you got? You said you got a couple, right?
Yeah. So start off with some hot garbage. And I just can't believe DC puts out. I can't believe anybody who actually ordered more than, let's say, any store ordered more than 5 copies of this. And I can't imagine people actually wanting this in their collection and realistically reading it and keeping it in their collection was the April special. I don't know if you saw this.
I moved past it quickly.
Okay. So it's April special, but it's spelled APE-RIL. Yeah. So it's all with like ape related characters. So you get Detective Chimp, who you really don't ever see. Mm-hmm. You get the monkey from the Wonder Twins. You have, you know, all different characters who are just, again, gorilla or monkey related. I read it. I just wanted to check it out because I think Detective Chimp is a cool character from like the whole Justice League Dark universe.
Yeah.
But my God, it was just so stupid. There's like, they create the Legion of like, I am not even going to do it. It's just like the Legion of Doom, but they're all baboon and gorilla characters.
Yeah.
And then there's like the impromptu JLA, like Just Us League of America, you know, of America. It's just like, oh God, it was such a bad issue, but I just can't imagine someone actually, thank God I read it online. I wanted to read it for the simple fact of Detective Chimp. So
no desire.
No desire. I don't think anybody has a desire to buy it. To spend the money. I don't even know what cover price was, but moving forward, the Star Wars Visions. So we get a continuation of the Ronin. So this storyline involves the Ronin and the droid, and you kind of get to see realistically like how he found the droid, how he gets the droid, he fights another Sith, and just the whole Takashi Ozaki, just his art style is just amazing. Like it was great the last time around. Just as great this time around for the Star Wars stuff. So definitely a nice little one shot. And I'm sure they'll continue with this character because it's one of the few characters from the Star Wars Visions that I felt like have a long, you know, history, who could have a long history going forward. Star Wars High Republic number 5, another honorable mention. Just Skeer, he is just a menace. here's a question for you. And what do you think on, would you want to see the Twins, Tarik and Sarah, you want to see one of the Twins go bad?
I mean, it seems like it, right? Like, it seems like I always like lose track of which one's which, but
yeah, of course.
It seems like one of them, like when he throws that monkey or whatever that animal was, like, it seems like one's going bad and they're struggling with like their little mind link, like the way they feel and they're not close. I mean, I think inevitably one has to. I think what you're going to see is not Sith related, which would be the cool aspect. I think what you're going to see is, I think one of them is going to defect to like the Nile or something like that. Something, or get too aggressive and get kind of banished, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only logical story with that. With those.
It's part because you can't keep them the way they are. And I don't think they're ever going to get back on the same page like they were in phase one. And then obviously this issue kind of fills in the gaps more with phase two characters. There's a reintroduction of another phase two character, which was interesting. Again, older version of that character, which, you know, I'm not going to spoil. Another cool issue was the Beneath the Trees issue number 4. I'm enjoying the series. You know, again, it's people went crazy for that number 1 just because it's like animals and murders and stuff like that. But I thought it was a great issue just for the simple fact that we're finally figuring out like who this other murderer is in the town, and you kind of get a background on why and what's happening with Sam, who's the main character, the bear. I'm enjoying that a lot. But pick of the week, Cobra Commander, man. Oh dude, it's just such a great storyline. Like, I was over at Jeff Shop over in Philly at Fat Jack's, and he's like, dude, you just got to look at this. And I kind of didn't read it, but I did not see I'm not going to spoil it for people who haven't read it yet, but the character that's walking around with Cobra Commander did not see that coming at all. And just the way the dreadnoughts just are absolutely just destroying him, like trying to beat down Cobra Commander.
Dear. It's wild.
Yeah. But in typical Cobra Commander fashion, he kind of turns people against each other, and it's just like the cartoon was. So
yeah,
definitely amazing. Cobra Commander this week was definitely pick of the week. So
nice.
What about you? What do you got reading?
So a couple from like last week as well. Last week, the Ghost Rider number 1, Final Vengeance came out, which was really cool. Benjamin Percy again back on Ghost Rider, and we kind of knew it got spoiled that the Spirit of Vengeance was going to go to the Hood, which I'm okay with. You know, I want to see how this plays out. I mean, obviously, inevitably, it's going to go back to Johnny at some point, but I thought it was pretty cool. I think it's an interesting character to get the Spirit of Vengeance. I liked that they brought back Zarathos, however you want to pronounce it, as like a more of an entity that's like sentient in this, and he like looking for a new host. I thought that was really cool. Carnage, always good. Always good. Side note, Torin was on Near Mint Condition's YouTube channel this weekend, man. Omar had her on and was interviewing her. Dude, I could listen to Torin talk on like an interview anytime. She's wild, bro. Like, she's just wild.
I'll have to check it out.
She's so funny, and like just the curse words they like just casually fly out. She's great. Yeah. So, shout out to Torin and obviously Omar and the Near Mint Condition crew over there on YouTube. Check them out. They have some good interviews, man, and good content. But what else? I really enjoyed Titans. I'm enjoying the Titans run. I've always been a big Titans fan, so it's hard for me to like not like Titans. I'm curious to see where it goes. Cobra Commander, I enjoyed.
I can't believe real quick before you skip over Titans, I can't believe how much of a character Amanda Waller has become over the past few years.
Yeah, and like a force.
Yeah, to, like a threat. Yeah. Like almost like a Lex Luthor threat, but you're not realizing how well it's being done. Well, what she's doing in the background.
This is a minor spoiler alert, I guess, but I remember reading this at the time, and I'm like, wait, Amanda's having a sit down with Trigon? Like, what? Like, no way, dude. You know, it's just wild.
And she doesn't care. And she doesn't back down. Like, he threatens her, and she's just like, why don't you think I've dealt with creatures across the universe? How do you think I don't know how to stop you?
Yeah. And she goes, if you feel so confident, reach across this desk.
I was
like, what? She had that BDE dog on him. But So that was a good issue, man. Also really enjoyed X-Men Forever, number one. It's kind of a tie-in, obviously, with the Fall of X, Rise of Powers of 10 stuff, kind of filling in some of the gap of information that we're getting between those two titles. Before getting into kind of like my pick of the week, I guess, the hot garbage, dude. I can't read it, bro. I'm going to finish it out because I've already bought three issues of it, but Star Wars Thrawn is bad.
Thrawn Alliances, yeah.
It's not good. It's not interesting. The story moves around too much. It's just back and forth with Thrawn and Vader in the past and the present. And there's literally in the past and in the present, there's nothing interesting occurring at all. I read like four pages of it, of the new issue three. And I was like, nah, dude. And I just like scanned and I'm not enjoying it at all.
It's sad to see that because the Thrawn 1-6, the original like Marvel one was done so well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And two great characters, right? You'd think that there'd be a better storyline here with two like awesome villains in the Star Wars universe. And the thing that sucks about like little mini series like this, like when they do these bleed offs, like the Star Wars Thrawn, it makes me not want to read, like I'm not picking up Jango Fett at all. And I am
was actually pretty good. Like that. Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah. I'm reading Mace Windu. It's okay. There's a nostalgia. I think I said it last time is when you read it, I just hear Samuel L. Jackson's voice every time Mace talks in the. So that's kind of
how I felt like with Django. I hear Tamora Morrison and, you know, and he kind of, you know, for the obviously one movie that we got a Django, you know, you get that threat. He feels like a badass, a badass bounty hunter. And, you know, and I guess, you know, that's a thing that, you know, you've read, you know, we both read Bounty Hunters and it's always like that up and down. But Django does really have a presence. Okay. And maybe it was a good first issue.
I'll go back and read that. My pick of the week is going to be a tie, man. I think we talked about it. We got some early access and we're able to read Rook Exodus. I had read a couple pages of it from like the preview that came out in the Ghost Machine. Yeah. But the complete issue was great. And then also what's really good was Red Coat was awesome. And so was Geiger. So all big starts to the Ghost Machine universe and just kind of like, they have throughout every one of these issues, they've got like a timeline and it tells you like they're working towards something. There's this whole like unknown war and Geiger takes place after that. Red Coat and Rook Exodus are kind of like before it. I think, I can't remember the timeline exactly, but they're working towards this big mystery and it's very interesting, man. Actually, I don't think Rook Exodus is part of that stuff, but anyway, check it out. It's really, really cool. Red Coat was funny. I love the way Geoff Johns wrote Red Coat. Like, did you read that one?
No, I haven't read any of those. It's on my list to read, and I'm unfortunately that I did not. But yeah,
dude, you have to. You'll love Red Coat. I mean, Geoff Johns is writing them hilarious. It's just this time hopping kind of piece of shit. He's like thrown into situations, but he's like, you know, selfish and he's not like a hero. And obviously, that's kind of where it's probably will go, but. Really cool stuff. I'm excited to see this whole universe kind of like play itself out. But those are definitely like my picks of the week. Geiger, Rook Exodus, and Red Coat. So that being said.
I have the Rook Exodus and I haven't got a chance to read it.
Yeah. And the art, dude. Oh, gosh. The art,
I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for those as they come out. I can't remember off the top of my head what the release dates on those are. If you haven't talked to your LCSs about getting those issues, make sure you do pre-order that stuff. But that's what I got.
Awesome.
So that's it for us, I think, this week. Kind of wrapping up. Anything, Justin?
So we have, I've been promoting it the past couple of weeks. Our buddy Scott Palachek will be at Lehigh Valley Comic Con the second weekend in April 13th over in Allentown, PA. So make sure you go check him out. We have, obviously, King Kong is in 2 weeks. Got our buddy V. Ken Marion. I got to see Ken last weekend. He was doing an in-store signing over at Dewey's Comics here in Madison, New Jersey. So we got to talk for a little bit, literally just 45 minutes talking Final Fantasy. Like, it was just It was like a deep dive into Final Fantasy. And then we were just getting into his Kickstarter that he's going to be launching soon. So, you'll see Ken at King Kong. He'll be with us. We got, our setup as well. And King Kong's right around the corner. I'm pricing some stuff up as far as like slabs I'll be bringing. Hopefully we'll have new t-shirts. Again, I keep teasing, we'll be dropping a cover there. And then again, Terrific Con, and then whatever else happens in between. Yeah. But yeah, obviously the next big thing for the podcast is King Kong. King Kong, obviously, April 6th, Saturday, April 6th up in Park Ridge, New Jersey. So
speaking of V. Ken Marion, yeah, his Kickstarter is Battle Chronicles Soul Striker, book one. You can find that on Kickstarter. Search that, Battle Chronicles Soul Striker, and you'll find that. Make sure you follow that because it will be launching soonish. I'm not sure. Did he tell you a date? I don't remember.
I think he said I think it's it's going to be right after King Kong. So I think that second or third week, it'll be.
Looks great, man. I love the stuff he's putting out. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. There's so much cool stuff from video game vibes to anime just 90s comic feel. So.
Yep. So yeah, give that a follow over on Kickstarter. Keep an eye on that. And then like Justin said, if you're in the area, come check us out at King Kong. We'll both be there with Ken as well. Having a good time. And that's it. That's all we got. Episode 12.
And then next week we got two artists on. So we got some indie artists on here talking about another Kickstarter that's going on. So you'll see that for episode 13. So
cool.
And by episode 14, Zach will be in the East Coast.
I'll be in the East Coast, man. Totally different. Yeah. Cool.
Great
stuff. Thanks, everyone. We will catch you later. You know where you can find us on Instagram or anywhere, both Nemesis Prime, Milton the Manimal, or the Comic-Con podcast. Reach out if you got any questions, funny comments, stories, whatever.
Of course.
We will see you guys later.
Yep. Peace. And check out our sponsor on the way out, Sidekick Collectibles, everybody. Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.